From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back, Chiefs fans. We have another one for you. There's some interesting stuff going on that has some outcome on where the Chiefs are going to be on some of their more, high-profile players as we come down to it. But all three of us are here today, and we're going to talk about Le'Veon Bell. We're going to talk about Brandon Cooks and their contracts. We want to welcome Core Essentials, our newest sponsor, to the show. We'll tell you more about them later, but I'm Ryan from RGR Football on YouTube as well as Rogue Analytics. Hope you guys are doing good. What's up, fellas?
Not a whole lot. Life is good. Just enjoying the evening. Was sitting next to a fire, and life is good.
You must live in Minnesota or something.
Yes. Yes, I do. Why? Because I can have a fire and not like be like incredibly warm?
Right?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, something like that.
Hey, it's not terrible. You know, it's like maybe 68, 69 degrees. I'm thinking I might let that bad boy go for a while and hang out in the 60. You know, that's when you're in the sweet spot with a fire, when it's like 55, 60 degrees.
Keeps the bugs away, keeps you a little warm.
Exactly.
You're nuts. Just gonna say it. Of course, it's 100 degrees where I am, so that... You know, that might have something to do with me saying
exactly.
Your
notes, it's real peaceful. I recommend it to anyone.
Man. Yeah, it won't be 55 in Wichita till what? October?
Yeah.
Well, be careful what you say. It might be September.
Okay. Well, I'll keep my fingers crossed for you. So a lot of stuff's going on. I was gone for the weekend. Got back to find out, you know, there's some things cooking, and I guess cooking is the right word for it.
Way to use a play on words.
Hey, I'm here for you.
That was well done. Well done. You get a round of applause from me. That was good.
Thank you. Thank you. But these people in Los Angeles, I don't know what the heck they're thinking. $81 million over 5 years for Brandon Cooks with what did you guys see what the guarantee is? What's the real contract?
I have not seen what the guarantee is.
$20 million-ish is the real guarantee. Injury guarantee for 50.
Whoa. Okay. So I got a lot of thoughts on this, but my first and foremost is, how do you look Aaron Donald in the eye?
I don't think they're going to pay him. I don't think they're
I don't think so either.
I agree with that, but I would also say, I also saw that this actually reduced Cooks' cap number for this year.
Right, but I mean, with a guy like Aaron Donald, because they just signed some other guys too. And I mean, it's not like they're swimming in cap space this year. I mean, with Donald, you got to think the next 5 years, because that's going to be a massive deal. Massive. And so I just, and if it decreased his cap hit this year, that means that they backloaded it a little bit. I mean, that, I don't know. That's a $16 million a year salary, which, I mean, I got to be honest. I like Brandon Cooks. I think he can play, but I don't think he's great. And again, how do you not just pay Aaron Donald?
Okay. Hold on. You're saying $16 million a year is too much. Do you think they ever paid for Watkins then too?
Yes, absolutely. I think $16 million is too much for a non OBJ wide receiver or Antonio Brown wide receiver, and Watkins hasn't shown himself to be that. However, the Chiefs have a guy who's a little sooner, a little earlier in his rookie deal, and they don't have a guy like Aaron Donald sitting there waiting to get paid. So to me, it's kind of apples and oranges. And plus, based on what I see on film, I think Watkins is a better player than Cooks.
I think he's certainly a more versatile player. He's going to line up at all three positions. I think he can.
Right.
I'm not sure I would say that about Cooks at all.
Sure.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we all agree about that.
And so
I just thought it was crazy to see the contract. $80 million sounds like a whole bunch of money, and it was surprising to see him get that contract. And like you said, Seth, you do not pay Aaron Donald. He continues to wait. And LaMarcus Joyner is waiting as well.
Yeah, I just don't – I don't think they're going to pay Donald. And to me, I mean, sure, it always depends on what he's asking for, right? But seriously, Aaron Donald is the one defensive player in the league that if he said, you know, $20 million a year, I wouldn't even blink. I'd hand that to him. And yeah, that's a risk injury-wise, but he's been healthy, and he is a game wrecker. An absolute game wrecker. I just don't get what they're doing right now.
And he's been healthy without playing through the preseason, which is usually a very dangerous thing for guys.
Yeah.
So he's able to get ready for the regular season and still get screwed in contract time. But
yeah, no, that's a surprising number. And yes, I think the salary that the Chiefs paid Watkins is not something I'm super comfortable with for a wide receiver, honestly. Now, if Watkins is what they think he is, then fair enough. It's all well and good, especially when you consider the offense they're trying to build, etc. But I just Cooks is not like Ryan, like we used, he's not as versatile as Watkins. He's a great deep threat.
But you can't line him up on the line of scrimmage, you know?
I don't think so. He's not a super nuanced route runner. I mean, he's a good wide receiver. And so maybe what we've seen is just a market reset for good wide receivers.
Maybe.
And so, I mean, I don't know. Maybe this is how people view Tyreek Hill, though, outside of Kansas City. I have no idea.
Well, and that's where it's leading to. If you're going to pay those guys, knowing that, at least in this office, they're second fiddle, what does that mean for the Chiefs are going to have to pay Hill if they want to retain him?
Right. I think a lot depends on what Hill does this next year. He's got 2 years left in his deal, I think. And so, you know, I'd love to see them negotiate now, honestly.
Well, I was going to say, this is the window opening, right?
They can't right now. They can't until after this season.
Okay.
After it takes 3 years?
Yep.
Okay. And so that's tough because it just depends on whether or not he worked on refining his route running further because he made a big jump from 16 to 17. And if he makes another big jump, he might vault into superstar. And then what do you do? Because you're already paying Watkins all that money. You can't pay two wide receivers that kind of money.
Nope.
You can while Mahomes is on his rookie deal.
If you don't put the care into the defense that probably should have.
Oh, I don't disagree with that. I'm just saying you could.
Oof. It was more the editorial can't. Like, how about this? Shouldn't.
I think it's going to put if Tyreek Hill even just matches. I mean, because we're still talking about an offense that's going to spread the ball around between Watkins and Hill and Kelsey.
Right.
So even if he just matches what he did last year, I think we're still talking about him seeing something similar in terms of, you know, overall payout, average base salary, I guess.
Right. Yeah, it's a I just don't even know. I don't know what the Rams are thinking here. I know they tried to retain Watkins, and so this tells me they must have offered Watkins something close to what the Chiefs did, I think.
Yeah, that may indicate that.
Well, because they also traded for him. This whole thing doesn't make sense to me. Someone commented, you know, keep your first rounder, draft a wide receiver, pay him almost nothing, and pay the best defensive player on the planet. Like, this is like... And sure, Donald would be more expensive than that, but not like obscenely more expensive than that, right? Like even if he's getting crazy with his demands, what are we talking, 22, 23 a year?
Yeah.
I mean
that's...
and maybe
for his production, he's worth it, though.
He's absolutely worth it, for sure.
He changes the entire defense.
He does. And so, I don't know, maybe Wade – now, here's the deal. If there's anyone whose word I trust on defense, it's Wade Phillips. So maybe Phillips thinks that their defense can be fine without him. I have no idea. But I don't know what they're doing. They're splurging on all the wrong guys for me.
Well, let's talk about who's not splurging. In a second, we come back. We'll touch on Le'Veon Bell and what it means for the Chiefs.
What makes core track belts so awesome? No belt holes. That's right. Instead, their belts use a hidden track in the back of the belt with over 40 size points to choose from. Ever wonder why your pants slip and turn that waistline into a gut? Every day as you work, walk, eat, and play, your waist size fluctuates in and out, just a little at a time. The core track belt adjusts to match your waist exactly. Each point on the core track belt is just a quarter inch apart. That simple, small innovation means you get a precise, steady, and comfortable fit every time you put it on. Removing or adjusting your track belt is simple. Pinch the small tab under the buckle. Core's patented design also makes it easy to remove the buckle or swap styles. Core track belts ship one size to fit every waist from 24 to 44 inches with an XL belt that goes up to 54 inches. You adjust the size yourself using their easy guide.
Core offers a full line of fashion belts, double stitched, full grain leather, smooth belts with no stitching at all, as well as gun belts for concealed carry. They also offer a stylish assortment of buckle faces, including stainless steel and zinc alloy. Core men's belts carry a 30-day guarantee, money back no matter what, and a one-year warranty against all defects, unusual wear, breakage, whole nine yards. But trust me, you're going to love it, and you want to get rid of all your other belts. Visit coreessentials.com to learn more and get your own core track belt to see firsthand why it's the best belt you'll ever own. Seriously, once you go to Core, you'll never go back. And we've got a special offer for you guys, our listeners. Save 10% on your order when you use the code LOCKEDON at checkout. That's Core with a K, coreessentials.com, and use the code LOCKEDON to get 10% off of your order. Now, the other big story is out of Pittsburgh. Franchise tag has descended again on Le'Veon Bell. You know, he's a unique runner. Okay, I'll give you that. But I am, at least initially, as I sit here tonight in the camp, that what was the offer? It was over $70 million, right? 10 guaranteed in the first year. And I know people will say the Steelers don't really guarantee anything past the first year. But if you're a running back who isn't a power guy, who has to pick and choose and be a little bit slippery, are you over the top, you know, trying to get $15 million a year, Chris?
I wouldn't think so. I understand his point of view. He sees himself as an offensive weapon, not a running back. And I get where he's going with that, but that's not going to be the way that it plays in the NFL. I really have a hard time seeing another team giving him $15 million a year just because teams aren't generally going to do that. I mean, he's still a running back, and he's not going to be a wide receiver. And Pittsburgh uses the heck out of him.
Yep.
It's going to be a lot of wear on him by the time he gets done.
You know, and I think I was reading about the Gil Brandt writes some stuff for The Athletic, and he was talking about, you know, I mean, it would cost him like $8 million if he sat out until, you know, because you can sit out until like November and still accrue a season. And so that would save his body some wear and tear, but, you know, it would cost him $8 million. And I mean, is he really going to make that up in a contract?
Nope.
And so this one's tough for me because I used to actually land on the other side of this argument with Jamal Charles, that he was worth paying. Now, to be fair, Jamal never cost that much money. I've kind of started to come around to the idea of not paying running backs.
Well, let me ask you this, though. Apples to apples, what would you think would be fair for Jamal? Because if you look at it, Jamal was asking to get paid, what, 4 or 5 years ago? Is it the same percentage of the cap that it would have been to pay Jamal what Jamal was asking for? Because $15 million sounds like a lot, but when you look at how much the cap has grown, I don't know that it would be that much comparatively speaking.
Okay. Well, I guess what I'm saying is I used to think it was worth paying, and the problem with running back is you can have – if you get 80% of the production or 80% of the ability at 10% of the cost or 15% of the cost, that 20% difference in ability doesn't move the needle that much for an offense. It just doesn't. And we've seen that, you know, when Jamal went down and Spencer Ware came, I mean, you know, Jamal would have certainly helped, but it just doesn't move the needle, even when it's a great player. And Jamal was a great player. And I just, it doesn't seem to move the offense enough. Now, like guys like Jamal Charles and Le'Veon Bell and like guys that I view as legitimately great players, I think they should get paid more than normal running backs, obviously. And then so they do help force defenses to do certain things, but they are still running backs. Like, I never bought this whole idea, like, you know, well, you know, on a production level, he's basically like a slot receiver and a running back. It's like, no, he's not. He's a running back. I mean, this is, and what I said yep. to someone, I was just like, you know, that'd be like Kelsey, like, well, you know, I blocked pretty well, so I think I should get paid like a right tackle and a tight end. It's like, no, that's dumb. You're a tight end who blocks. It's part of the job description to catch passes as a running back in today's NFL. And was he even the leading receiver in the league at running back? And so, like, to me, and again, he's the best running back in the league, in my opinion. But when you look at, I mean, there's plenty of guys in the league that can offer you 90% of what he offers. They just are.
I'm with you there. And I don't buy that. Oh, well, he catches more passes than anybody. I don't care. Walter Payton caught a lot of passes. He didn't get paid like that. I think it's kind of ridiculous. And when you look at what it means further down the line, you know, yeah, it's a franchise tag. And it's, what is it, this the third year or whatever? It's 120%. I mean, next year, it would go to like 25 mil if they tagged him again. So he right. will land somewhere else.
They can't tag him. You can only tag 2 years in a row.
Okay. So he will be somewhere else. And, right. you know, you're talking about Devonta Freeman makes 8.25 on average. Shady makes 8, you know, as long as he's in the league, who knows what's going to happen. Here's a shocker. Jerick McKinnon's number 4 at 7.5 a year average.
Yeah, they I think they plan on really using the daylights out of him. Now, you know, he's got a specific skill set. I think he's going to be primarily a receiving back. And so I if the Chiefs, let's say he hit free agency next year, even if you removed Kareem Hunt from the equation, I'd be so upset if the Chiefs offered a running back who's already been in the league for 4 or 5 years and is closing in on those late 20s. If they paid him
right.
$15 million, now maybe he'll be the exception, you know, and he'll be dominant for another 4 or 5 years. But for one, even a dominant running back, again, I just don't know if it's worth that much. And for two, the reality is that the running back wall is a very, very, very real thing. We watched it happen with Jamal, and we all hoped that it wouldn't, because early in his career, he got hurt a few times and he got sat. And so he didn't have as much wear and tear. That was the theory, right? And it didn't play out.
Well, I'm not advocating the Chiefs offer him a contract. Not at all. I just looked him up. He will be 27 going into next season.
Okay.
The only thing I'm worried about, I think the Broncos might.
Man.
They can clear $48 million with 4 moves, and they don't have a running back to speak of.
Right. I wouldn't mind if the Broncos paid $15 million a year for Le'Veon Bell. Because here's the other thing. They have a very good run-blocking line. And they have for several years now. Mm-hmm. And as much as I admire his patient style, and I think that helps them, when you've got a garbage offensive line like the Broncos have, that's not going to be nearly as a big a deal. And here's the other thing. He was quietly not as efficient last year. I mean, per-touch average.
For a guy with his style.
And so I just don't know. Again, it just isn't worth it to me. And if, like I said, if the Broncos signed him, I wouldn't be thrilled, but I wouldn't be like, oh no, you know what I mean? It just wouldn't bother me that much, because the position just doesn't move the needle enough unless everything else goes right. That's one thing I've probably learned maybe the most over the last couple of years watching film, is a lot of crap needs to go right for a run play to work.
Chris, do you care if he ends up in the division?
Not really. I do think that it would be possible for the Broncos to land, especially considering if you look at who they can clear with all their wide receivers that are going to be gone. I think it could be a good move for them, because they don't have a running back to speak of, and they're going to be rebuilding that receiving core. So to bring in a receiving type back like that would help as well. But it doesn't bother me if he's there. The one place that I would be would make the most sense in the division, though, to me, is Oakland, just because of what Gruden has done. But I can't see Oakland being able to afford him.
Right.
Well, we're going to cover our guys to watch next week, but we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back and ask each of you guys for just a preview of that, who we should be thinking about right now. Now, the Chiefs have started their move to training camp. We saw them packing up. We'll talk about that more tomorrow's show. But just as a preview, who's one guy that right now, this week, as we sit here, that you're thinking about, hey, he might actually be able to make some hay here in training camp? Chris, give me one name.
Patrick Mahomes.
Wow. Way to go out on a limb.
Yeah. No. I had to. You set it up, and I had to take it. No, honestly, the one I'm trying to – the position group that I'm most interested to watch, and I can't give you a specific name because, to me, it's going to be fascinating to watch 4, 5, 6, 7 is the wide receiver group. Mm. How do those guys shake out? How does it come out of training camp? A lot of questions there. A lot of good players. You know, I had somebody ask me about Garrett Dieter. Is there a possibility he makes a team? I think it's a very long shot for him to make the team. Just because of Chesson and Robinson, but I mean, it's possible. It's a question of how much can he contribute on special teams if he's going to be on this roster.
And I'm sure we'll go into in depth about that next week. Seth, anybody in particular on your mind?
You know, I've been thinking about this. My plan is to try to make it to training camp on the 1st and the 2nd. And we'll see what happens. I'm still not, it's not set in stone. And I was trying to think, like, who would I really want to watch, like, during one-on-one sessions and everything. And one that I keep coming back to is Breland Speaks, because he, him and Passanio, because those two really hold a lot of importance this upcoming season. If either one of them can even be a decent pass rusher, not great, just decent, that would be a big, big, big deal.
I completely agree.
What about you, Ryan?
You know, I'm going to go into it in depth next week, but I'll just tell you two guys in particular that I think are going to be in kind of a battle once they get going, and Eric Murray and Armani Watts, about who's going to actually play a little bit more loose free safety type role with Eric Berry. Those are the first two guys that I'm going to watch. So we'll cover it in depth and go position by position next week. And there's a number of guys with all the changes to this roster that we should probably all be keeping an eye on. We'll talk to you about when we'll all be in camp, when you can meet us, where we should all meet up. And we will have availability for you. So thank you for listening today. We'll be back with you tomorrow. And get ready. Camp opens next week.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review. And reach out to us on Twitter, @RyanTracyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.